Hi, Ruby Ryder here. Happy holidays to everybody. Here's another short take for you. Here's my letter. So I have been playing for a lot of years, currently 32, got very experienced in depth play to the point where I wasn't even warming up anymore. Toys I was using were largest version of Chance and then moved up to Henry from Exotic Erotics. So I looked these up. I'm going to pause for a moment and give you some measurements so you know what this guy's talking about. The XL Chance tops out diameter-wise at 2.86. And Exotic Erotics, man, that was a search. Speaking of search, I really wish they had a search field on their website. Goodness. But I did find it. The Henry tops out at 3.89 diameter. So yes, definitely taking some wide toys. Okay, continuing with the letter here. Well, about 5 to 6 years ago, my partner at the time took things much too quickly, forcing it through the internal sphincter, and I bled pretty good. Took a few weeks off to heal, tried again, same thing. Took a couple months off, tried working into it again, same thing. Finally, went in for a colonoscopy after a year or two of failed attempts to breach without bleeding. Plus, started having pains when using restroom in lower bowel area. The doctor was unhelpful, to say the least. They didn't want me to get scoped, but I kept pushing the issue. Tried explaining to the doctor that I use extremely large toys and was dealing with an injury at the sigmoidal entrance, but he dismissed it pretty quickly and wouldn't let me explain further, clearly uncomfortable with the subject. Followed some dumb stuff like cutting dairy and taking Metamucil for a bit before they'd finally let me get scoped. They did the scope and found a 6 millimeter sessile, C-E-S-S-I-L, serrated adenoma, right where I told them they would. Scar tissue, I assume, as it was non-cancerous. Only issue they found in there, minus a small hemorrhoid on my external sphincter. No fissures or other growths. They removed it, and I took another year and a half off of toying. With my next partner, I mentioned it, and they had the idea that I was probably healed by now. Started working back into depth play with smaller stuff, and eventually got back up to using Henry with no issues. Then one day, I pulled off and was bleeding again. Ever since, I bleed any time I enter the sigmoid. Gave up depth play completely and am terrified to go to the doctor because of my shitty experience the first time. I'm really looking for information on if anyone has had their internal sphincter successfully repaired and been able to get back to large depth play. I've set the precedent and am due for another colonoscopy, but it's tough to find LGBTQ+ friendly doctors. And I don't want them to push something extreme like partial removal or something like that. Going out, everything functions as normal. No bleeding. And I have been dealing with this issue for years. It doesn't affect me at all, minus I can't do depth play anymore. Anyways, if you want more info or know/run into anyone who has experienced something similar, I'd love to hear the story and if they were able to recover from it and get back to their play. It's something I've been looking for info on for years. I know I'm not the only one out there who has injured themselves or been injured during play, but there just doesn't seem to be anyone who has come forward and shared their story. Thanks for reading, if you made it through. So part of the reason I wanted to read this for you all is basically crowdsourcing. This gentleman has not found any kind of solution to the problem and just really wonders if there's people out there that have experienced something similar. And I also want to point out that in my advanced class, one of the things I emphasize is, you know, your body has limits, and clearly these limits were being pushed by this person. And it seems as if the injury may have occurred, at least with the telling of what happened with him, when the partner just took things way too fast. When I looked a little bit further into the physiology of the rectosigmoid junction, I've mentioned before that there does seem to be some disagreement as to whether or not there's a true sphincter there. There's not a true sphincter in the way that a sphincter is recognized by the medical community physiologically. However, it does seem to act like a physiological sphincter and an anatomical sphincter as well. In other words, you've got stuff coming down your colon and the rectosigmoid junction tightens up and stops it there and then periodically lets it down into the rectum. And there's a whole explanation of how that happens, different reflexes, different stuff that gets really involved. But the point being, yes, there is somewhat of a structure there that acts as a sphincter. The interesting thing here with the telling of this person's story, though, is that any kind of, you know, bowel movements, anything like that, everything is totally fine unless they try and do the depth play again and then they get the bleeding. I also want to point out that, oh my God, the experience with the doctor. This is so fucked up. I really wish doctors could just put aside their weird discomfort shit and look at situations like this as, wow, this is something really unusual. I get to learn something new, right? As opposed to, oh my God, I can't hang with it because this person's doing things that I don't think people should do. And this embarrasses me because it has to do with sexuality. I mean, I don't know what's going through this doctor's head, but good Lord, open up your mind and treat people, you know, fully as opposed to discounting things. I don't know. I haven't said that well, but you know what I mean. It's really unfortunate that he had this experience with the doctor. It's like he knew more about it than the doctor did, practically. So if anybody's out there that has experienced something like this, please write in and let us know. I contacted him. I got this message a while ago, and I contacted him, and he said, yeah, I haven't done any kind of depth play at all, and maybe that's all behind me, but he's still very interested to know if anyone has been through something like this and has had any kind of a repair. I find it fascinating that there are still parts of the body that we don't really know that much about. I mean, when I started reading about it, they said it's not just a junction, it seems to be an entire zone with a length of 3.5 to 4.5 centimeters. So it's a little zone in there that does things that are very, very similar to what a sphincter would do. So yeah, all of that's very fascinating. But remember, everybody listening to this, this is really hardcore depth play, and this is why when you do things like this, yeah, people do it and they don't, you know, I haven't had anybody write me and say, hey, this happened to me too, or I got bleeding or I had to stop. I'm sure there's people out there that it has happened to because, of course, people are going to push boundaries sometimes. But this is why I emphasize so intensely in my advanced class that if you're going to do really wide insertions like this, especially wide insertions that go past the rectosigmoid junction up into the lower part of the sigmoid colon, it has to be done really, really slowly and really, really gradually. Well, this person was really experienced. So the other factor that seems to be a necessity here is really slowly and gradually, even if you are experienced. In other words, just don't assume, don't push that like, oh yeah, we're just going to go, you know, punch it through there. I always kind of cringe when I say that word because no, we will not be punching anything through the rectosigmoid junction. It's a structure of the body that needs to be taken care with. And although this has not, as I said, messed up any kind of his bowel movements or anything like that, still, it's a bummer that he can't do that depth play anymore because this has happened. So if anybody has any information, please write in and let me know. And thanks for listening to this one. I have one more letter for you. This is from a giver who just purchased my three webinars for the low, low price of $75, the recorded ones. And that sale is ongoing, by the way, until the end of the year. So you got a few more days to take advantage of it. It's the beginners, the equipment, the advanced webinars, all recorded. View as many times as you want with whomever you want. And access in perpetuity if you want to go back and review things. Plus, I update things as, you know, toys come and go, things like that. Yeah, those link resources get updated on a regular basis. That's what I'm working on right now, as a matter of fact. Anywho, this giver wrote me after they had viewed the very first webinar, the beginners, and sent me this letter. Hi, Ruby. I just finished watching The Art of Pegging for Beginners. Loved it. Thank you for creating that resource. I just have one question so far. I noticed that the discussion of toy cleanliness and hygiene did not mention using condoms on toys. I have long operated with the understanding that using condoms on insertable toys is one of the best ways to ensure that the toy will remain clean, at least the area that the condom covers, and then I also clean the toy using soap and water. Honestly, I'm always kind of surprised that people use toys anally without a condom because it is much more likely to eventually smell and also to need more thorough cleaning. I also don't understand using toys vaginally without a condom because I guess I have anxiety about the toy not having been cleaned properly and then getting those germs up inside myself, but I digress. Do you think that using condoms on toys being inserted anally is a safe and healthy alternative to the various other methods that can be used to clean these toys, like special soaps, boiling, the UV thing, which I had never heard of, etc.? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. So here are my thoughts on using a condom. Some people really like using condom. And first of all, let me say that we're making an assumption here that we are absolutely using 100% platinum silicone toys, okay? So there's no discussion about that. It's not like, well, better to use condoms on toys that aren't 100% silicone. No. All we're talking about here is 100% silicone toys because that's really all I recommend using. So, okay, you've got the 100% platinum cured silicone toys. Should you put a condom on it? It's really a matter of convenience. It's not a matter of you have to clean it a whole lot more thoroughly if you don't put a condom on it. I mean, clearly, if you get some poop on it, shit, whatever you want to call it, then you need to clean it off. But really, you should be cleaning it off in the same manner in terms of washing it with soap and water and then wiping it down with alcohol is the very minimum that I would do. I wouldn't use a toy cleaner. I think toy cleaners are really, you just simply don't need them. And, you know, there's affiliate people I'm associated with that would slap me for saying that because they want to sell the toy cleaner. But I just don't think they're necessary. I think you can do a perfectly fine job using an antibacterial hand soap and then wipe it down with alcohol. The only reason that I use the UV as well is because I'm a professional. I do sex work too. So there you go. But to expound a little more on that, you mentioned odor. Yes, even 100% silicone toys can pick up an odor if you use them anally. That's very easy to get rid of, either by wiping it down with professional strength fingernail polish remover, or you literally put the dildo in an oven for 350 and leave it in there for half an hour and you're good to go. So there's an article, a very short one I wrote about, yes, getting an odor out of silicone toys. And that may seem like a hassle to you, but the cleanliness is not the issue. Okay, the odor might be an issue and that, like I mentioned, is easily fixed. Most of the time, when I talk about condom use, it is just for people who prefer to use a condom because the cleanup is easier. And I don't mean the cleanup is easier because there's a, there's a danger of something staying on the toy if you don't use a condom. That is not the way I mean it. I mean, clearly, if the toy gets any shit on it, you're going to have to clean it anyway. But the reason I don't use a condom is, first of all, because it just seems like a hassle. But second, there are specific textures of different toys that I like to use in different situations. In other words, sometimes the toy has a velvet surface, sometimes it has a shiny surface, sometimes it has a textured surface. And when you put a condom on toys like these, they all kind of feel the same. Now, that might be an advantage for some people because maybe the texture doesn't feel good. Maybe they don't like that velvet surface, the matte surface toys. So, you know, there's lots of different ways you can look at this, but in terms of keeping it clean for a safety thing, nah, it's just simply not necessary. The other context that I talk to people about this in is using the same toys anally and vaginally. Okay, I already covered the odor, so we're not going to talk about that part, but yes, it's absolutely safe to use the same toy anally and vaginally. Clearly, you're going to clean it really well in between. But you totally can, because that is the magic of 100% silicone toys, is they are not porous at all. So nothing is going to be stuck in little crevices in the toy. It's not going to be infected, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really okay. It's safe. It may not be appealing to use it if it has the odor, which is why we talked about that already. But that pretty much covers why I don't use condoms. And yeah, I just don't like messing with them. You know, it's a pain in the butt. But what I would say is, please do what makes you comfortable. The UV thing I use is mainly because I am a professional. So I want that one more level of added insurance that my toys are absolutely and perfectly clean. But, you know, with intimate partners, even several different intimate partners, would I use a condom on a toy? No. Would I put it in the UV? Only because I have the UV box. If I wasn't a professional, I probably wouldn't have bought it. So that is all I have to say about that. Thank you for the question and thank you for your purchase. I hope you are enjoying the other webinars as well. There's one more thing I found that I wanted to read to you guys because it just really, it's cool. Okay, so let me just read it. This is a post on Reddit that I found this morning. Anyone feel very clingy after being pegged? I had my first pegging session with my girlfriend a while back. It was amazing and even more intimate and better than I had anticipated. One thing that struck me was that after I came through being pegged, I felt very emotional and clingy. I loved everything so much, but after, I got very clingy for the next 2 days. I usually don't get clingy after regular sex, but for some reason I wanted tons of hugs, cuddles, and attention from her. Anyone else had this experience? I feel like it was so powerful. I never expected that I'd feel so much after everything. So then, one of the best responses that I've ever read on this, because I mean, I've written an article about aftercare, right? And how penetration's really intense and vulnerability if you've never allowed yourself as a prostate owner to experience that in this society can feel really intense. But I think from the source, from a prostate owner, this is wonderful, this comment. So let me now read you this. Usually not for 2 days straight, but for the rest of the day, or at least a couple of hours, yes. I get clingy and needy after pretty much any form of kinky play in which I am submissive and have an orgasm. It's often cathartic and plays with my emotions far more than an ordinary penile orgasm. After the standard, while I don't do the stereotypical turnaround and fall asleep, I bask in the glory for 5 minutes and then am ready to go on with my day. I don't even like staying in bed too much. Being submissive changes the orgasm, and while I don't orgasm from pegging, if I orgasm during or after, or in another submissive position, I do need a lot of reassurance that I am still loved and worthy. I guess it has to do with stereotypical male upbringing, cultural and societal positioning, where the pleasure I've just experienced was achieved through ways which are not traditionally manly, etc. I don't subscribe to that point of view rationally, but it's obviously ingrained in me through upbringing and culture. So I need reassurance from my wife that I haven't lost my manhood and she still loves me. Something along those lines. Again, it's irrational because we've discussed it and neither one of us feels that way really, but it is there. This is such an amazing comment and so well stated that I am very, very thankful to this person who left it. And I wanted to read you guys that because, yeah, I've covered it all, but you know, still feeling worthy, even though you're not masculine, I did not know, at least in those words, and looking at it from that perspective, I did not know that that was part of it. That letting down those walls of societal's views about masculinity leaves one feeling potentially unworthy. So big hugs and lots of love to all you prostate owners out there. I love you all. Okay. Hope you enjoyed that. So that's it for this short take. Happy holidays, everyone. Have a wonderful new year. If you're going to party, party safe. and let's have a fantastic next year, shall we? Despite all the odds, despite all the challenges, let's have a wonderful year. Thanks for downloading and listening, everybody. Happy pegging and no shame.